Let's get started here and turn in the book of John to chapter 5. And I'm going to read three verses and then kind of go on from there, forward and then backwards and somewhere. John chapter 5, I want to begin reading in verse 16. Excuse me. Afterward, Jesus, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. I wonder sometimes if perhaps some people might think that I have an unhealthy fascination with seeing Christ dealing with the religious of his day in a negative manner. I'm not saying I don't do it. I'm just saying it's not unhealthy, because the Gospels are full of it. Any time Jesus Christ dealt with the religious, there was conflict. A division was manifested. I said a few weeks ago, it's not that division was made, but the division was manifested. And it's not hard for me to be caught up in the cause of my Lord.
Yes.
And to study the life, the ministry, and the work of Jesus Christ is a study of conflict, is a study of division, is a study of a difference being shown. Because almost all of the dealings that Jesus Christ had with the religious leaders of that day were negative from their point. Now, Christ was always positive. He positively stated the truth every single time, just as he did here. He positively stated the facts. There was no guile in him. There is no guile in him. That's not even, he's not even trying to hide or sneak something in. He always spoke the truth, and it almost always made people mad. I can only think of two that, right off the top of my head, that weren't too bad. That was when he spoke to Nicodemus. And then there was that one fella he said that answered him possibly with a little bit of guile, a little bit of slyness, and he told that fellow, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Most of the other times, they turn out like this, and they sought to kill him more. Therefore, the Jews persecuted Jesus. Now, the word translated here means pursue, and by implication, persecute. They were not coming to him in faith. They were not coming to him to learn of the truth of God from him. They were coming to accuse, and they were coming to, it really sounds funny to say this, because they were trying to correct the Lord of glory. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to correct Jesus Christ. It didn't work. It didn't intimidate him. It did not affect his behavior or his speech in any way, shape, or form. You make it sound like they were after Jesus. Well, they were. Exactly. They wanted him to stop what he was doing. And if you see that, you're kind of getting to the true point of the scriptures. there is a division between the people of God and those that aren't.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's explicitly spoken of, written of, written down by these men. And it says, and they sought to slay him. Mm-hmm. These guys were serious.
Yeah.
This ain't no joke. Well, it is kind of funny if they thought they could kill Christ without his cooperation. His hour had not yet come. He doesn't say that here, but they didn't kill him. So you can kind of tell his hour had not yet come. One of these days, I want to kind of, if I ever get a lot more time, I want to sit down and just count up the times that they sought to kill the Lord of Glory.
Yeah.
Or I'll Google it on the internet, because somebody probably already has. Every time you turned around, whenever Christ spoke, it seemed somebody wanted him dead. So it was no marvel when later on in this book he says, marvel not that the world hates you. That's why they wanted him dead. Nobody hates Jesus. Well, they did when he was talking to him. When he was speaking to them, they wanted to kill him. One time they told him, for a good work, we stone you not. But thou, being a man, says you're equal with God. And he is God.
Yeah.
He is God. Totally and completely, right here now, as he is at the right hand of the Father. Right now, in this place, they wanted to kill the Son of God. And it says, because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to get back, hopefully, to the beginning to see what led up to this, but I wanted to carry on just a bit. Forward before I go backwards. Christ had already dealt with this before. You'll find an occasion in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but I was going to turn back to this just to read this in Mark chapter 2. Because still to this day, there are people who are terribly consumed by the Sabbath. There's a denomination known as the Seventh-day Adventist. I've spoke about them before here. There's a denomination. That's what their big thing is. They meet on Saturday. Because Saturday is the Sabbath. And Saturday is the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. The scriptures are clear about that. But in Mark chapter 2, let's start in verse 24. It says, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, this is Christ speaking, have ye never read what David did when he had need, and was hungered? He and they that were with him, how they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. Verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The religious world to this day, but these guys here in particular in this way, have it exactly backwards. And that's the way of the world. They cared more about the Sabbath than they did about the Lord of the Sabbath. They'll care more about their traditions than they care about the God of the Bible. They'll care more about their ceremonies, the style, than the substance. They'll do this, and they do it today. The Sabbath is just an example. These Jews were pursuing Jesus because he didn't act the way they thought he should act. They thought the Lord of the Sabbath was violating the Sabbath, Mason. Well, Christ responded to them and answered them, saying these words, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." That was his response. Now, I picked this scripture. Walter, I've been looking at some stuff on the internet. And I'd heard of a fellow by the name of William Huntington. And I saw a thing written on him, just a little description of him by J.C. Philpott, which was okay. And Walter, it said, he was called an antinomian and a hyper-Calvinist. So I said, I got to see what this guy says. And I got some of his stuff, and this is one of the things I looked up, and this is what he had on as the scripture for his sermon. Now, he went in a almost different way than what I'm going to do here. But what I read of his, he was an antinomian. He was not. And what I read was the man preached true grace, sovereign grace, at least in that sermon that I read. But if you preach sovereign grace, they'll say you're antinomian. Yeah. Lawless. Yeah. Lawless. If you preach free grace, they'll say you don't like the law.
Right.
You don't believe the law.
Right.
No, I do. I just can't do the law. And I know I can't do the law. And Jesus Christ was not breaking the Sabbath by healing a man. That's what he did. But this is what Christ answered them. How'd that go over? Well, to quote John Boy and Billy, not too good. Christ Jesus, by the scriptures, by his own words, you can tell he was not one to be prone to defuse a situation. We have negotiators now and arbitrators now, and what they try to do is bring two parties together. Jesus Christ told them the truth. They got mad and wanted to kill him. So what did he do? He told him more truth that made him more mad. And sought to slay him. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Because of what he said. Because of the truth that he spoke. It made him even madder. The other thing most people don't know about the Gospels is that Jesus Christ was was actually in several what they called tense situations, and he had the the uncanny ability to intensify the ill feelings of people toward him. How? As I said, by speaking the truth. He told him, "My Father worketh hitherto." Christ knew exactly why they were after him today. Because he had, by their means, by their thoughts, they thought he had broken the Sabbath. Christ knew this. He didn't need anyone to tell him what was in the heart of man. And Christ laid it right down where it needed to be. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus Christ did nothing except what the Father wanted him to do. Now, these Jews totally ignored that statement except for the part about my Father. This should have given them pause. They should have, as my mother used to tell me, "You better think again." I like that statement. But it implied that I was thinking the first time my mother said it to me. Now, I realize now, since I've come of age, that at 6, 7, 8, 17, 19, I wasn't thinking. Not coherently. Most of my decisions were made hormonally, or spur of the moment, or anything other than deep thought. These fellows were immediately offended by what Jesus Christ said, and did not stop to think that what if he's telling the truth? That didn't enter their minds. I have been in places where that reaction comes out that fast. And I know others have too. My God wouldn't act like that. Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus spoke it. It's true. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. The Son can do and does exactly what the Father does. This is not only a statement of fact, it's a warning. Because if you say anything against the Son, you are speaking against the Father and against the Father's work and against the Father's will. And that's bad ground to be standing on. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. I'm doing nothing except what the Father has done before. These Jews knew what Jesus said, and they knew that what it meant. But it didn't give them even a moment's pause. It did not cause them to reevaluate their position and situation. These Jews didn't think again, but they should have. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath in their thoughts, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is a perfect illustration of how man, in his total depravity, and even with superior knowledge, learning, education, traditions, and maybe even incredible intestinal fortitude, can get the point that Jesus Christ was saying that he was God, and miss the point at the same time. That's how dead we are. Christ says it plainly here, and it went. They didn't get it at all, but they got it, Mason. And it made them mad. If you speak the truth of God in the face of Jesus Christ and lie not to people, they will get mad at you also. I've seen it happen way too many times. The only time that they try to hide being mad is when they're outnumbered. I mean, if we got one in here, they might not threaten to hit me, Walter. But when I was among them, I'd had a fist balled up at me. Walter heard somebody yell, "Let's hang them from a tree." I'm glad that night I did not hear that. And I did not realize it till later, after that was over. It came to my mind that I wasn't mad. I was upset. I was disappointed. I was saddened. But I wasn't mad. They were mad. And they weren't mad at me. They were mad at the message.
Yes.
And the message was, He is Lord.
He is Lord.
And that He chooses His people, just like He said. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. But you tell people that, and they say, "Well, that doesn't mean that." The truth of God has always been the dividing line between those who know God and those who don't know God.
Yeah.
Those who know Christ and those who don't know Christ. It always has been. And it always will be. Man hasn't gotten any better. Depravity hasn't lessened any. Dead is still dead. Now, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work, and therefore they sought the more to kill him, because he made himself equal with God." But Christ didn't let it lie there. He went on to tell them what his work was, and what the Father's work was, "Hitherto, and I work." He says, "The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do." That's the middle of verse 19. "For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." You want to know something about the work of God? Know something about that. You want to know something about the work of the Son? Know something about that. "The Father raises up the dead and quickens them." I looked at that. And where it says "raises up the dead," raises means wakens, rouses, literally from sleep, from sitting, lying, or from disease, or figuratively from inactivity, ruins, or non-existence. Ooh, that was me. That was me. I was a walking, talking non-existence. Without strength, without hope, and I was in the world. But not only does he raise them up, it says he quickens them. Oh, in the middle there, where it was from the dead, just in case you're sure, you know, there are people who say that we're not quite so bad. The word is nekros. That means dead. In case you had any other questions about it, it's actually derived from the word nekos, which means corpse. That was me. That was me. And that's every man as he is naturally dead. A corpse. What is the saying? Graveyard dead. Not just dead, graveyard dead. But the Father raises up the dead and he gives life. That's what quickeneth means. Makes, I like this way, makes alive. He gives life, that's true. And when he gives life, guess what? He makes you alive. I love this stuff. The raising comes from the Father, and the life comes from the Father, and it always has. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, in this statement here that Christ made, how much do the dead do? Yes, I understand that is a stupid question. But I also understand how stupid I used to be. And therefore, by implication, I know how stupid other people are that we have to deal with. We're dead stupid. Or we're the stupid dead, however you want to put it. How do we know this? The Son just told us. The dead do nothing. The Father raises up. The Father quickeneth. The Son quickeneth. Man is quickened. Man is made alive. Man is given life. That's man's part. He doesn't come to the front to pray a prayer. He doesn't chase after anyone. You're dead. In trespasses and in sin, we're dead. Naturally. And the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Because they are spiritually discerned. He can't even know them. And that's what the Son is relating here. The work of the Father hitherto. In his work. The Father loves the Son and shows the Son everything. You know, healing on the Sabbath day isn't all that Christ has done. He makes alive. He makes alive the dead. Not the wounded, not the crippled, the dead. Every child of God, when he is brought in to being a son of God, it requires a miracle of life from God. Born from above. Born from above. And it's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of man. It's not of blood. It's of God. That's what Christ just repeated here. It comes from God. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. This is the beginning. There's some more, and hopefully next week we'll get into it there. For us, this is the start. For me personally, this was the start. I had to be raised and I had to be quickened. Before I could learn, before I could know anything. Because everything good is spiritually discerned. Now, I knew all kinds of things that perhaps I shouldn't have known. I used to be a competent liar. Okay, sometimes I still am. It's the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
I try not to use my powers for evil, but I will use it to send some people away and possibly on a false trail, but not about God.
Right, not about God.
I will use it to get them out of my office at work. And I'll tell them so-and-so is looking for you. If God's looking for you, if Christ is looking for you, he's going to find you. And he will raise up and he will make alive. Because my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Present, active, whatever tense. Indicative, which means actually it's a fact. No doubt about it. He makes alive. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, thankful. Not as thankful as we should be, but try to be thankful for your Son, our Lord, who came and gave himself for us. And now is making his people alive, is giving them life, and revealing himself to them. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. In Christ's name, amen.